now we're going to talk about last night's debate. In about 10 minutes, we're going to have Jill Stein on. We're being joined by someone who is closely linked over the years with Donald Trump. I don't know if he still works for him. He's been on this show, and I know he gets a lot of people upset, but we're very happy to be joined by the notorious consultant, Roger Stone. Welcome back to the show, Roger.
Randy, glad to be here.
Good. So, well, great to have you on. You always have something interesting to say. You saw the debate last night. I got to be honest with you. I didn't see a lot of it. I fell asleep during it, and I was flipping around watching the Sea Wolf with Edward G. Robinson. All right, Jane. And so I missed most of it, and I just saw some of the analysis. What was your take on that debate? You've watched it.
Well, of course, to begin with, I was disappointed that the debate did not include the Libertarian and Green Party candidates. I really think the Commission on Presidential Debates is, of course, not a commission, not appointed by the president, and certainly not about debate. It's about limiting debate. Candidates should only get in the debate if they poll 15% in three randomly picked polls selected by the former Republican and former Democratic national chairman. Says whom? Why?
I don't know. I don't. The whole thing is a complete farce.
And the criteria, of course, should be, are you on the ballot in enough states to theoretically win 270 electoral votes? Jill Stein is, Gary Johnson is, they should have been in the debate. The country would be better off with a broader debate. Now, I say that as a Trump supporter, but 4 years ago I supported proudly Gary Johnson, a good man, and I said it then, and I say it now. These debates are rigged from the get-go. As far as the performance last night, there were so many topics that I wanted to hear addressed that did not get addressed. Frankly, I thought Trump had his moments. Hillary had her moments. Frankly, there were a number of areas where I think he should have challenged her more aggressively.
Well, that's she what I mean, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating, yeah. Roger, for a person like me who would support someone like Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, to see this debate and questions are not asked about Hillary's involvement in Saudi Arabia, in Haiti, Honduras. I mean, none of these issues are going to be aired out, so the public has no idea about her hands in all of these places and foreign policy areas and domestically, you know, with the crime bill and all that. None of this stuff is being discussed. So he's not going to hit her from the right on these issues that someone like I would be interested in hearing.
Well, I mean, she raised the question of minimum maximum sentences. Is she kidding? These were given to us by she and her husband. The 1994 racist crime bill, which has incarcerated an entire generation of young black men for the nonviolent crime of possession of small amounts of drugs, which had harsher penalties for rock cocaine than powdered cocaine. Gee, who was that aimed at? She's got to be kidding. The only place Hillary Clinton wants to feed poor black people is in a prison cafeteria. She's against privatization of prisons? Really? It started under she and her husband. Why did they begin this process to begin with? This is the same Bill Clinton who went to federal court to argue for racial profiling by the Arkansas State Police. So he thinks people should be pulled over for the crime of driving while black.
Well, why does he do so well? Why does he pull? Why does she pull so well with mostly Southern blacks? And then you got people like Bakari Sellers from South Carolina who's on the payroll. You know, and you got John Lewis. I mean, they have not been very good over the last four decades.
I think this is very simple. The other point I think Trump missed last night is the devastation of our inner cities. It's about more than just, you know, gun violence. It's about despair. It's about joblessness. It's about lack of opportunity. The Clinton and Obama employment figures among African Americans are disgraceful.
Well, what about Haiti? Well, let's go to Haiti for a minute. We only have so much time here. What about Haiti? We, you know, why wasn't that brought up? Does he not know about Haiti? Does Trump not know about Haiti, or does he not care about Hillary and her brother's involvement in Haiti and the CGI?
You'd have to ask Trump and his current advisors. I've written extensively about the fact that Black Lives Matter unless you live in Haiti, or unless you live in Libya, for that matter. Mainstream media doesn't cover these issues to the extent that they should. Where is the New York Times expose on Haiti? We're too busy editorializing about Donald Trump's taxes. Please, give me a break.
Well, there's some...
The Bushes together ripped off millions that was meant for Haitian earthquake relief.
And nothing ever got down there. Nothing actually got down there. I had this guy the other day, Charles Ortel, that really laid it out, how the Clintons and the Clinton Global Initiative totally screwed, you know. And we're talking about the poorest country on the planet, Haiti. I mean, why would you take advantage of a country that has so much despair? And so this doesn't come out in the debate last night. Perhaps if Jill Stein was in the debate, or if Gary Johnson was in the debate, there would be a discussion about Haiti. There would be a discussion about Libya, Libyan oil, Libyan water, all of the reasons why we really went into Libya instead of these sideshows about Benghazi. There's a real reason why we went into Libya, and that's not being discussed.
Say anything you like. In Gaddafi's Libya, every adult, man and woman, was entitled to a free home, a free education, and free health care. They had the highest standard of living of any nation in Africa. Women were allowed to drive a car. Women were allowed to choose their own husband. Women were allowed to go to college. Women were allowed to go to graduate school.
So why did we go in there? What was the point of going in there? They'd already played ball with George Bush.
Oil and gold. That's why.
It was all about oil.
It was preordained. Jeffrey Cutter and Hillary Clinton had decided to remove Gaddafi, who had renounced his nuclear ambitions and who was sharing intelligence with us. There was no reason to destabilize him other than greed.
That is amazing. It's an amazing story about Hillary Clinton. And the fact that she got off scot-free last night. And, you know, some people like me, I'm not really a conspiracy person, but it's almost, you know, it's hard not to believe that Trump is not in with them, and they're just not going to have a real debate, and we're not going to be in the know, and she's going to win, and it's going to be another 8 years of Bush, Obama, and then Clinton again. Just like it's a seamless transition, and there's going to be absolutely no room for change.
Well, and the nonsensical notion that she attacks Trump for urging the Russians to produce her emails, if she hadn't posted them on an unsecure server where they could be hacked, they wouldn't have them. There is no evidence of Russian involvement in our elections. This is a canard. The only person who's done errands for the oligarchs around Vladimir Putin are Bill and Hillary Clinton, and they have been paid handsomely to do so.
Yeah.
This is the new.
Well, why are they pushing Putin? What's going on? Why are they really trying to inflame a guy with nuclear weapons who's fighting against ISIS? What's that all about?
Well, it's very simple. Hillary is a neocon. Trump favors détente. Trump favors hard-headed negotiations. Trump would like peace with the Russians. We're on the brink of war thanks to the Obama-Clinton policies. Obama is flirting with war with the Russians even as we speak. So this whole notion that Trump is somehow in bed with Putin, this is the new McCarthyism. It's an absurdity. Hillary is the war candidate.
All right. Well, Roger, listen, I appreciate that. We're going to have to go. Because we only have a few minutes left, but we'll have you back on in the future. Thank you for your sharing your thoughts, and always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're
glad
a very
to be here,
smart
Randy.
Guy.
Many
thank
thanks.
You. Thank you, Roger. All right. We are going to go. Thank goodness we've been talking about this about someone that we actually, there's a progressive that's running for president here. We actually have someone that's running that is a progressive. And, you know, people shouldn't be intimidated into voting for someone who's not a Eugene Debs said, I'd rather vote for someone that I like and lose than vote for someone that I don't like and win. And we have that right now happening in the U.S., in New York State, and we're being joined by a very progressive, dynamic candidate for president, and that's Jill Stein. Thank you for being on the show.
It's great to be with you.
I know you were there with my friend Errol Lewis. How did that go?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I've done the show several times, and I knew he was going to schedule you to kind of conflict with me because, you know, he likes to do that. He's got a good sense of humor. And but we're really happy to have you here, Jill. And I got to ask you, first of all, what did you think of this non-debate debate? I didn't watch it. I kind of boycotted that debate because I knew I read some of the commentary afterwards. But I wasn't going to go for it. I've had enough of it, you know. And if they're not going to include you, Gary Johnson was on, and he said that they should have you and him in these debates. What are we losing by not having the two of you in these debates?
In my opinion, you know, we are losing a debate. You know, it is a non-debate. When Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton discussed foreign policy and war, you know, what they talked about was who adopted which position when. You know, it was about them. It was not about their policy. It was not about, you know, America and the price that we are paying, that this is bankrupting us. These wars have taken more than half of our discretionary budget for what's not a defense department. It is an offense department. It requires almost half of your income tax to pay for. And what do we have to show for it? Failed states, mass refugee migrations, and worse terrorist threats. This is not getting better, yet they want to do more of the same, only on steroids. You know, this, like, just defies the imagination. This is not okay to have a presidential election in which we are plunging headlong into this catastrophe of militarism without giving the American people the benefit of a real debate and a real challenge to that policy. Same goes on climate change. Same goes on student debt. Same goes on the big banks that are bigger than ever and more poised to fail. This was not a debate. You know, this was a police state, not a debate, with 1,000 police and many levels of barrier fences. You know, this is what democracy is looking like now in the 21st century, and we're not going to settle for it. Yeah. There were 24 people who actually got arrested to say that this is not okay. We're not going to go quietly into this dark night. In this election, it's not just a question of what kind of a world we will have, but whether we will have a world or not going forward. We must have democracy to discuss this and empower the voters to actually be the deciders here, not corporate media who basically anointed Hillary and Donald with $2 billion and $4 billion worth of free media, respectively. This is how these candidates have come to predominate.
Well, I saw you in a town hall and that sold me. You know, first, I wasn't sold because I'm so cynical. You know, I ran Al Lewis's campaign for the Green Party for governor back in 1998, and you know, I've run for office myself. I'm cynical, but I got to tell you, you got Mark Lamont Hill, you've got Cornel West, who was on last week singing your praises, you got Julian Assange, who we had on a few weeks back singing your and I want to ask you about him. You've been very bold in calling for Julian Assange to be given a pardon or not to be charged. He's a publisher. You've been very,
right, exactly,
very, very bold about this guy who is a publisher. Why are they attacking him?
Well, him, Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning,
Drake, and a whole bunch of others.
This is the administration that promised they were going to be transparent like no other. Yet that is the Obama administration, which has used the Espionage Act to basically hunt down more whistleblowers and charge them than all previous charges under the Espionage Act.
Not since Woodrow Wilson.
Outrageous.
Not since Woodrow Wilson have we had a president. All of them combined, you're right, using the Espionage
All of them
Act.
combined.
And that's not even part of the debate.
Was supposed to be about, it was supposed to be about spies who were making money selling secrets. You know, these are patriots who expose the abuses of our own administration, the violation of our constitutional rights, of international law, all being done in our name and behind our back. So, you know, thank God for these whistleblowers, and they should be treated like heroes and pardoned or granted their freedom in the case of Julian Assange. And, you know, I would like to bring Edward Snowden into my administration. We need a really good tech guy to be helping us balance, you know, the need for privacy with our need for solid national security. You know, he has the ability to do that. And, you know, I think a whole lot of other techie people do out there, too. They just don't have the right values. As Benjamin Franklin himself said, those who would sacrifice privacy in the name of security will wind up losing them both.
Right. Yes, that's true. And I could see that. Jill Stein, and you have you would have Ed Snowden as the head of national the NSA, and you'd have Julian Assange as your press secretary. Wouldn't that be great? That would be great to have two people who are, because we got to know this stuff. We're not learning. Last night was this, it was a super American Idol kind of exhibition, and I'm sick of it. There's nothing there. There is no substance. We are being force-fed this. Does it discourage you? I mean, what are you going to do from this point on? Are you discouraged? Are you going to continue to you think the electoral process is so rigged that nothing can be done?
Well, let me tell you this, Randy. This is the really good news. So we were doing a breakthrough internet technology thing that essentially broke open the barred doors of the gates of the debate. That is, we collaborated in a first-time-ever partnership with Twitter and with Periscope to do a live broadcast in which Periscope was interjecting my answers to the questions right after Donald and Hillary's. So it turns out now 15 million people have seen this alternative liberated debate, and it continues to go viral. In fact,
is that on your website? Is that on Jill 2016?
It's on our Facebook and our social media, which is Dr. Jill Stein. That's just Dr. Jill Stein.
That's Twitter, and then that Facebook.
That's Twitter,
is.
And also you can get to Facebook using that. And let's see. Hold on, just one second here. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. This is called Live on the Fly. There's nothing. We're not choreographed here.
Oh, okay.
So
all right,
you
great.
Can look at your watch. You can talk to somebody next to you. We're all cool here. Reggie, if you have something you want to ask our engineer, everything's going. We have a great engineer here. We had a big supporter of yours who just walked out of here, and that is Greg Palast.
Awesome.
His film is dynamite. You should see his film on 23rd Street. So you got Facebook.
The point there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just to make the point, we were number one Google search last night. It was the number one Google search was, how can I vote for Jill Stein? There is a voter revolt in the making here, and they want you to feel hopeless so that you will then be powerless. But in fact, we are not powerless. The American people are in revolt. These are the most disliked and untrusted presidential candidates in our history. 76% of Americans are screaming to open up the debate. Even Trump's and Clinton's supporters don't actually support them. They are mainly motivated by opposing the other candidate. What's wrong with this picture? You know, democracy is not a question of who do we hate the most and who do we fear the most. It needs an affirmative value. If word gets out that we're here, 72% of Americans don't have a clue who our campaign is or what my name represents. Yet when people find out about it, you know, it is this, it's this explosion of excitement, which is exactly what was happening as 15 million people saw our debate last night, which the media, of course, you know, continues to try to cover up, but it continues to go strong. And, you know, I urge people to join our campaign for open debate. Go to jill2016.com and join our campaign for open debate. get on the pipeline, and let's just raise hell, because we are making a beeline for oblivion right now, whether from the climate crisis or the expanding and endless wars or the nuclear weapons brinksmanship that we are engaged in right now. The corporate political parties are not going to solve this for it. They didn't even mention these world-threatening issues last night. They're not going to fix it. We're the ones we've been waiting for. We do have the power. Remember, there are 43 million young people who are locked into student loan debt. They have nowhere to go. When they hear that they can actually vote for our campaign, the only one that will bail out the students, like Democrats and Republicans bailed out the bankers, we're saying it's time to bail out the victims of Wall Street. When young people hear about that, suddenly they want to engage. And I'll tell you, that's why we are going viral right now, because there is a generation that is ready to break out. And as they discover us, they are becoming pretty unstoppable. So, you know, I'd say join the team, get with the program, help us make phone calls, help us canvass, throw in some change if you've got it. And, you know, together we are an unstoppable force.
I think you're doing a great job. And the state of New York, the Green Party is in a pretty good position. It's fourth because of Howie Hawkins did so well. You're fourth on the ballot in New York State. So you got Democrats, Republicans, Conservative Party, and then the Green Party, which is in front of the Working Families Party, which, of course, is just a stalking horse for the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
You know, the Green Party really has a great opportunity in this election and this state. One of the things, I was talking to Howie the other day, they should have put some more people on the ballot for congressional races and for the Senate and state assembly races in all 212 districts. And it would have been, I think, would have helped the Jill Stein presidential count if they had put a lot of people in. Enlisted. Why didn't they do that?
You know, we can only run as many people as are willing to run.
Right.
So I encourage people to get involved because, you know, immediately coming out of this election, we have a whole, you know, new series of local and down ballot races. Greens have actually had 1,000 people holding local and state level offices over the past 10 plus years. We, in fact, tend to win these races. One out of every three Greens wins their down-ballot races. And one of the reasons that I'm running is to help get these other candidates publicity, to help get them established. And we're all bootstrapping each other and building a strong